Just record.
Yes, I can, Andy.
I can hear you as well, Andy.
Thank you.
This is hopeless.
It's not hopeless. It's just...
No.
It's just... Hopefully. More of it, you know, it's just life. It's just life, and we're all going to be fine.
Well, what we have is...
Do we dial them, or are they dialing us?
No, we have...
I didn't read the directions, because I was...
Your Honor?
Dial in.
This is Andy Brown. We can hear you, but... We're not sure you're taking this in.
We just heard Andy Brown.
Well, listen, as Mr. Kuntz, are you connected?
I am.
Mr. Bring?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
Well, then, we're just fine.
Okay, now we know.
Listen, but I didn't hear you. Mr. Brown, if you stated your appearance for the record, I didn't hear that.
Okay, Your Honor, can you hear me now?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. This is Andy Brown from Dorsey & Whitney, appearing for both applicants, Otter Tail Power Company and Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Your Honor.
Mr. Kuntz.
This is Dan Kuntz, appearing on behalf of the applicant, Montana Dakota Utilities Co.
Mr. Bring.
Mark Bring on behalf of applicant, Otter Tail Power Company.
Mr. Grumman.
Mark Grumman, appearing on behalf of Advocacy Staff, Public Service Commission.
And Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
Ilana Jeffcoat-Sacco, advisor to the commission.
First, let's confirm for the record, please, that this pre-hearing conference is held pursuant to and in accordance with the stipulation of all counsel. Mr. Brown?
Yes, Your Honor, that is accurate.
Mr. Kuntz?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Grumman?
Yes, Your Honor.
And Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
Yes.
Okay,
Mr. Bring?
Your Honor.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bring. I skipped over you.
Not a problem.
All right, let's go to work. Mr. Grumman, it was your motion for the pre-hearing conference and your agenda. Would you proceed, please?
Certainly, Your Honor. I think it seems to me that the best way to start this would be the protocols associated with the pre-submission or stipulation of foundation for our witness and exhibit list. It's my understanding that all parties should have been provided a copy of a draft witness and exhibit list that was prepared by Mr. Brown. And, Your Honor, I guess we could just start there and any thoughts that you may have. But I think it should be self-evident as far as how we plan on going about this, and as you can remember, it's somewhat similar to the NSP rate case that we had last month. But if Your Honor has any questions.
No, I've looked at the, for the record, Mr. Grumman gave me the witness and exhibit list, which is submitted by Mr. Brown, and it's entirely satisfactory with me. Are these the only question I have? Do I presume that correctly that the witnesses are listed in order that they are expected to appear?
Your Honor, this is Mr. Brown. That is accurate.
Right. Other than that, I'm fine. Now let me just ask, Mr. Brown, how do you intend to proceed? You're going to, I'm guessing, you're going to offer your witness, and then you're going to offer your exhibits in the course of each witness's testimony. Is that correct?
We would be happy to do that, Your Honor, but as counsel has indicated, I believe we have reached agreement, at least with respect to the admissibility of all of the exhibits that are listed on the exhibit list that you've been provided. So we could do that by witness or at one time, whatever your preference is.
Your Honor, if I may comment briefly?
Please.
Oh, thank you. So it's my understanding of how we did it again, referencing the Ray case last month, is I and Mr. Brown would each do our opening, and then after that, I believe we would just submit the exhibits at that time with the stipulation on the record, if that would be acceptable to Your Honor.
Well, I'm willing to listen to your advice, certainly, and I really generally, what works for the lawyers will work for me. But I will tell you, Mr. Grumman, I didn't think that the previous hearing where we submitted the exhibits all together at once went very well. I thought the commissioner seemed a little disorientated, maybe, as to the information that they were looking for in dealing with their testimony,
mm-hmm.
and that we did a lot of back and forth. I thought, however much back and forth we did, whether you characterize it as a lot or not, I thought it was too much.
Well, if I have some thoughts, Your Honor, if I may.
Please.
Of course, there can't be any ex parte contact between myself or Mr. Brown and the commissioners, but certainly Alana is here. What I would recommend, along as Alana agrees, is perhaps she could approach each of the commissioners and ask what their preference is. Of course, I probably don't have the experience that Mr. Brown has, but both of us have been in court, and both of us are in that position that we can react accordingly as far as what input we get back, i.e. that we could submit them as a whole in the beginning, or we could submit them in as each witness comes about. From my end of it, I certainly respect your opinion, Your Honor, about whether or not that was a proper protocol with the exhibits. That being said, from my end of it, respectfully, it's nice the efficiency about it and the fact that rather than us taking up the commissioner's time with stipulations of foundation and et cetera and the mark identify and introduce for each document to do it all at once, at least in theory, it seems to me very efficient. But again, I will defer to certainly whatever the commissioners feel.
I agree that it's efficient, and I thought it was a great idea, especially when you have a lot of exhibits. But what we wound up with was a pile of exhibits in front of the commissioners, and then we had some very brief testimony from witnesses, and the next thing, we were moving on to the next witnesses, and I don't think the commissioners connected until we were almost through the end of the hearing, and then, we have a what about this question, that question, and we wound up recalling how many witnesses, and that I thought that did not work well, and it didn't work well from my standpoint in processing the information that was coming in. Now, the only question I have, are you going to have, Mr. Brown, let me direct this to you. Are you going to have a witness to match up with every exhibit?
Yes, we will, Your Honor.
Well, then
and the bulk of the exhibits, I might say, will be with one. It'll be our first witness, most likely, Mark Rolfes.
Well, I listen. Then I think the problem might be avoided as long as you have exhibits for every witness. We don't need to do the drill of offering the exhibit and going around with objections and then my pronouncing unnecessarily that the exhibit is received. And we can skip all of that and move along. But then I think it's necessary that you have the witness bring each exhibit that they're talking about with regard to their testimony, bring each exhibit to the commissioner's attention. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
I wanted to point out, and I think it will, I think it sort of makes the difference here. The previous case was a settlement.
Yes,
so a lot of the people in the room kind of think there's nothing to talk about.
Right, exactly.
This is, to date anyway, no settlement. And so there will be the natural the tendency of both the attorneys and the witnesses to be going through that testimony more thoroughly, which as opposed to skipping over most of it. So that I don't think the commissioners, we should avoid that possibility of getting a little bit lost because you have a pile of exhibits and you're not really talking about, or testimony and exhibits that you're not really talking about.
Yes,
I'm hoping.
And I just point out that it's my impression that often the commissioners have questions related to the exhibits which they have reviewed and often marked up. Mm-hmm. So as counsel, as you offer your witnesses, if you then make a point to tie your witnesses' testimony to the exhibits, that keys the commissioners, gives the commissions a cue to this is where they need to ask their question about whichever exhibit they have looked at and have a problem with. So I
You're
think
on.
That will work. And with that thought in mind, I'm all for marking those exhibits, using opening statements, and then each the counsel. So we're going to have opening statements from Mr. Brown and Mr. Grumman, I take it.
That's right, Your Honor.
Yes.
Mr. Brown.
So that works, and then I think you should conclude your opening statements, and then I'll ask Mr. Brown to proceed. And at that point, Mr. Brown, your first before you offer your first witness, I would just offer the exhibits that you have. Just pursuant to stipulation. Move the admission pursuant to stipulation. And I'll ask for objections. There being none, we'll receive them at that point. And then the same thing with Mr. Grumman. I guess that's part of his opening, although I don't really care how you do it. But then not as part of your opening statement, unless you're going to reserve your opening statement to your offer of evidence. But in any event, at that point, if you offer pursuant to stipulation all of your exhibits, do the same drill, and away we go.
Sounds good.
Mr. Brown, any comments or advice?
Your Honor, this is Mr. Brown. Just a couple of things briefly. On our exhibit list, we have identified who we're intending to offer as the sponsor for each exhibit. So you'll see our designations there. And then the other thing related to this that I would like to bring forward and is that what we are preparing to do, if it's appropriate, is at the time of the hearing, we can provide you and each of the commissioners with a notebook that would have all of our exhibits. I think we're going to have the bulk of the exhibits, but we were planning to provide that, hopefully, for your convenience and the convenience of the commissioners in a notebook.
I think that's an excellent idea. If the commissioners have marked up any of the exhibits, which I assume all of these exhibits have been filed.
Most of them. Not all of them, Your Honor.
Well, whatever. the commissioners, if they've got a, if they've got a, an exhibit which has already been filed, marked up or whatever, they can have it. But nevertheless, that should be sufficient to cue them. And for the exhibits that they don't have, I think that's an excellent idea. I think that's fine. That should work well.
Yeah, and, Your Honor, just to add on to that last point I made, we are intending to offer as exhibits some filings on resource planning from other dockets. So they have been filed with the commission, but not in either of these cases.
Oh, I see. But the commissioners, if they're interested, I'm assuming will be aware of that through staff.
Yes.
So I don't see that as a problem. Now, let me ask one question at this point, Mike, I haven't overlooked you, Mr. Kuntz, or Mr. Bring, but I'm wondering, I'm assuming you're going to be with Mr. Brown or in close proximity to him during the hearing, but to what extent are you going to be participating in the hearing, Mr. Kuntz?
I'm not sure that we've finally decided, Your Honor. I may handle a couple of our company witnesses, or we may have Mr. Brown do that, but I will be at the hearing.
Mr. Bring?
Your Honor, in as much as a number of our witnesses are joint witnesses, because Otter Tail serves as the operating agent at the plant, my intention is to rely solely on Mr. Brown to present those witnesses and also to present the two witnesses that are testifying solely on behalf of Otter Tail Power Company.
So you won't be, Mr. Bring, you won't be sitting at council table, so to speak.
Your Honor, only if Mr. Brown wishes to have me available for guidance.
Of course, but my point is I won't be calling on you with regard to any questions of procedure or with regard to the exhibits or any other issue that may come up in the course of the hearing. I assume Mr. Brown speaks for the applicants in all of those cases.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And is that your situation also, Mr. Kuntz? If you should offer and examine a witness, then obviously, if any procedural matters come up at that point, I'll look to you rather than Mr. Brown.
Yes, Your Honor. I would characterize my role as second chair, if you will.
Yes, exactly. All right, that's fine. I've got it. So, Mr. Grumman, anything further with regard to the witness list and the exhibit list? All of the exhibits, obviously, are going to be. We're going to have. Do we have a court reporter for this consolidated hearing?
We've asked Amanith and Associates, Your Honor.
Okay, good. Then we'll have one set of exhibits for the record. Those should just be put on the court reporter's desk. And then I assume, Mr. Brown, that everybody else will have a book which will be prepared and distributed by you.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, that's a plan. That is excellent, I think. Mr. Grumman.
I just have one quick statement. Is there any objections from anyone of actually docketing this witness and exhibit list so that the commissioners can review it and have a general understanding of what the exhibits will be prior to the hearing? I think it would be in their interest, and in prior cases, I'm pretty sure they actually do this. So,
well, they can review it even if it isn't docketed. So,
but if it's docketed, then we know they're going to be copies made and put on their desks, correct?
Yeah, but I mean, I will distribute it whether or not it's docketed. Okay. It might be premature to docket it, but I don't really care one way or the other. So was it required to be filed, Your Honor?
No.
Okay.
No, so.
Then I guess I wouldn't docket it, but I will see they get it.
Okay. Yeah,
that's fine.
That's it. That's all that I had anyway on this subject.
All right, let's be sure.
Your Honor, if I could,
Mr. Brown.
One other thing I'd like just to call to your attention on the witness portion of the witness and exhibit list. You'll see we have nine witnesses, and as Mr. Bring indicated earlier, some of these are designated as witnesses who will be appearing on behalf of both companies, and then a couple each for Otter Tail and Montana Dakota. And then the consultant who has been retained by the advocacy staff. There are two names on here, Stacy Hebert, the fourth person listed, and Brian Draxton, the sixth person listed, who have not submitted any pre-filed testimony at this point. But as you'll recall, we had reserved the right to call additional witnesses, and at this time we think that there may be need to call these two witnesses, so we thought we should include them on the list.
All right. All right, counsel. Anything further with regard to the witness and exhibit list, Mr. Brown?
The only thing, other thing I think I'd like to call to your attention, Your Honor, is that we do have some trade secret information in this case. And on the exhibit list, we have designated that by having the same exhibit number as the public version, but with an additional A suffix. So, for example, if you look at on the first page at Otter Tail MDU 106, which is attachment 5, there's a trade secret version of that that immediately follows as 106A. I have had some discussions with Mr. Grumman about these issues, and I'm not sure that we're anticipating that the trade secret information will come up, but it has also, in addition to five of the attachments 4, 5, 6, 8, and 9, it does come up very briefly in the pre-filed testimony from Mr. Hahn on two occasions at page 8 and page 20 of his testimony, and on one occasion in Mr. Kopp's testimony at page 5.
All right. Mr. Grumman, anything further? All right, then. Ms. Jeff Gotsacko, anything with regard to the witness and exhibit list?
No, unless there's any questions about the procedure if trade secret comes up, but I...
That is still on our agenda.
Oh, it's still on. I'm sorry. Okay. No.
Okay, then I'm good with the procedure and with the handling of the exhibits and with the witness list. Next, Mr. Grumman.
Well, Your Honor, as indicated, I guess the only other thing that I had for subject matter was this trade secret protocol. As Mr. Brown had indicated, there may be, from both parties, those type of instances whereby trade secret material may need to be introduced into the record. It's my understanding that Chapter 6090209 in particular takes into account these type of situations and indicates a protocol associated with it. So I guess just to start that off, and I guess any questions you have, Your Honor, or any further clarification Mr. Brown has to offer.
Well, I don't have any questions. I've been down this road before. My recollection is a little vague, but I don't recall that we have. I'm not sure, really. But my uncertain recollection is that where we have had testimony referencing trade secret information, the witness has referenced an exhibit or referred to the information in general terms to direct the commissioner's and staff's and counsel's attention to it, and we've just moved past it rather smoothly without any difficulty. I have really a very uncertain recollection that on one occasion we corrected some trade secret information, or we expanded on it, something to that effect. And I think we had a court reporter at that time. And I think what we did was we stopped the recording and we stopped the broadcast, and we proceeded upon the court reporter's record. And the court reporter made a record and then filed a transcript and a supplemental transcript. So That really was not a problem. I don't now have a recollection whether we did anything with regard to the court reporter's notes. We may not have. That may have been overlooked. But at any rate, I don't think there was a problem. So that would be basically the way that I would proceed. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
That's basically what I recall, but the rules do cover it, and I'll just summarize it quickly. 6902-0908 does speak to the fact that the information should be referenced, if possible, by its title or exhibit number in a manner that doesn't unnecessarily disclose anything confidential. But if specific disclosure is necessary, it must be on such prior notice as is feasible and in any event on sufficient notice to clear the room of persons not bound by the chapter. Well, the chapter goes on to require that persons viewing the information sign a form, which I have some copies of, but I'm going to tweak and revise it slightly. So I would expect that there be, if a party recognizes that trade secret information needs to be discussed, then we mention that to the ALJ and pause. We would stop the broadcast. We would separate the recording, much like we do for an executive session of the commission, and we would have people sign the non-disclosure forms that we have here in the commission. Whoever's staying in the room would sign that. That is not the party whose information it belongs to, would sign the forms. So that's what we'll be ready to do if it has to be done at the hearing. And I'll have a supply of forms with the case numbers on it and that sort of thing ready to go. Okay.
And questions? I'm sorry.
One more thing I forgot. I'm sorry. But if you skip down to 6902-0910, it mentions that if you produce copies of this information, of the trade secret information for the hearing, you number them and that you get them all returned so that you know if there's 10 of them, you get 10 of them back. And we talked about that on the phone. I had forgotten that we actually have a rule to that effect. So,
all right.
Your Honor, this is Mr. Brown. With respect to that last rule, in the notebooks that we're planning to provide to you and to the commissioners, we were not planning to provide the trade secret information. We'd have a spot designated for it, but we wouldn't be providing it. And consistent with 6902910, if we need to get into the specific confidential information in the hearing, we'll be prepared to comply with that rule and distribute, and then when we're done, collect the copies of that trade secret information.
That works, counsel. Mr. Grumman?
I have no comments, Your Honor.
Anything further, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
Nothing, thank you.
All right, Mr. Grumman, I assume that completes your agenda.
The fact that I can think of, I don't have my email in front of me. I thought I had three things down, but
you
at least
did,
if memory serves.
But the second was foundation,
okay.
Waiver of foundation for the exhibits, and that will work. We've covered that.
So I guess the short answer is, yeah, I have nothing further, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Brown, is there anything further that you wish to discuss in preparation for the hearing?
No, there isn't, Your Honor. We appreciate your time this afternoon. We think this has been very helpful.
Mr. Kuntz, anything further for the record?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Bring, anything further for the record?
Nothing further, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Grumman, do you have anything further to, anything further to, any last thought, I guess?
No, Your Honor, and likewise, thank you for everyone for your time.
Is Jeff Coatsacco, anything further for the record?
No, thanks.
All right, counsel, thank you very much. This is helpful. I think we're ready to go, and I think we should have an efficient, smooth hearing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Someone has left the conference.
Dan Kuntz.
Someone has left the conference.
Mark Bring with Otter Tail.
Andy Brown.